All right. Anything, Howard, you or Scott, anyone wants to start with?
Just since our last call, I guess, which was 2 weeks ago, I made 11 more Supernova calls. I edited based on our last conference call where you and I did that pre-call before, Rob.
Yeah.
And it's going well. I did catch myself yesterday, though. I think it was twice on my last call I said the word try. So I have to keep working on my on how I say it.
Yep.
But for the most part, people are really excited about it. They understand why we're doing it. No one's giving me grief about the amount of phone calls. You know, people think that there's always something we can talk about, and if there's, you know, a shorter call, if it's 5 minutes versus 15 minutes some months, they said it's fine. And if, you know, if life happens and someone's sick or traveling and it doesn't happen, but at least, you know, we have the schedule and the discipline and they seem to enjoy it. But the other side effect is I think, as I was talking through with a friend, is I think it is going to help people be able to explain what we do and how we do things. So I do think it'll make the referral easier because it is different.
That's been our experience, Howard. The people want to refer to you. They just don't think about it. And then when they have that opportunity, they have trouble describing you and making you sound different from somebody they might be working with right now. So when they can talk about the things that you and Scott are talking about, monthly scheduled calls, rapid response, multi-generational and fully implemented planning, smaller practice, higher touch, all of that stuff sounds really good, and people can more confidently refer you. Any pushback?
No. The only pushback I ever got was the radiologist who said, "Hey, you know, I only know my schedule 90 days out," and I said, "Don't worry, we'll work through that." But no. No one said it's too much or not interested or but I am interested. You know, it is get exciting to call because there are some people that we have. There's a guy, this client we have, that I have $1 million with, but I don't have a lot of his other money. So we traded calls yesterday because I'm excited to tell him the story because I know he has a lot of money other places. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how he perceives this and does this elevate us in his mind. So, you know, it may create some opportunities.
I think it will. Howard, how many does that take you up to? You've done 11. You did 11 since we met 2 weeks ago. Where are you overall?
So I'm at 22.
All right. Scott, give me an update on your calls.
Okay, so two interesting calls. One was actually a face-to-face with a client that I went down and visited in Florida. So he's not going to get – he's certainly a supernova, but we did a very large insurance contract with him, the client that I've known for maybe 20 years, I'm saying. And so, you know, my wife and I went down for the weekend to visit with him. And in his office, you know, my wife was out for a few minutes, and we chatted, and I gave him you know, the story of our changes and stuff, and you know, he's excited. And the one thing that was interesting is that he's a personal injury attorney, and he's made lots of referrals to us from cases that he settled. None of them, you know, they're nice settlements, but none of them really in the realm of what, you know, our minimum is. And even though he's, you know, a big advocate and has made a lot of referrals, no one's ever followed through because, you know, a lot of these cases that he settles, you know, it's a windfall and people are not accustomed to it and they go spend the money. So that's not surprising. But, you know, in his area and his other colleagues, so, you know, I gave him about, you know, our minimums and all that. And it was kind of enlightening to me because it's somebody that I've always never been able to say, oh, no, thank you. But he understands what we're doing and the level of our business practice. So from that standpoint, it was a big success.
So he's given you referrals. They've just, the people have never met with you.
And they're in Florida. Right, they're in Florida. And most of these settlements, you know, could be $200,000-$300,000, and
yep.
you know, the clients had you know never really ever had that kind of windfall and go spend the money for the most part, pay off their bills, whatever. Not accustomed to an investment process.
When you left this personal injury attorney, Scott, did he understand that you have a minimum for new business?
Yeah, we went over that, yeah, because I was specific
cool.
about trying to tell him that, in that because he has given referrals in the past that really under our new philosophy wouldn't have met our prerequisites.
Got it. How many of those conversations did you have since our last meeting?
I've had 5.
What's that take you up to, Scott?
About 10.
All right. Scott, do you think you have the your script down? What you want to say? Is it firmly in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always have a rough point here and there. As Howard has said, you get through it, and you get better and better every time.
All right. So the team is up to Howard's done 22, you've done 10. This still has to be at the top of the list of what you all need to get done. Agreed?
Correct. Yeah, but you know, the other side of it, which we're still struggling with and don't have a process, is you know really reducing the book on the small end and you know referring those clients away, which is a big thing to free up our time and practice, obviously.
Well, let's talk about that. Is there any one thing that is causing you grief there, something you're not comfortable with? I had maybe incorrectly assumed that this was you knew what you were going to do. It was just a matter of executing as far as getting the number of clients
well,
down.
That's still the issue. We don't have a facility that we're comfortable with yet to re-refer those clients to another advisor.
All right. Stiefel doesn't have a call center.
Correct. We've identified there's an advisor here in Cincinnati now, and then there's two in Dayton. Just Scott and I haven't been in the same city for a couple weeks because I was gone and he was gone to actually have a meeting with them and talk about it. But we have a list and we have the clients and we have the names. We just haven't, as you said, executed on it. So in between doing supernova calls and then referring out calls and then business, we got to prioritize it.
You were absolutely right. Is it just a matter of, well, you said prioritizing. Is it just pushing the pile, Scott, and you haven't taken the time to meet with these people?
Scotty? Yes, is it just pushing the pile as far as taking the time to meet with people as far as referring out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I would suggest you do. The two of you look at your calendars and then figure out a time that you can do this and then call the person.
Right.
I would think they would – are they – is the one in Cincinnati in your office?
Yes.
That to me would be a.
It is. He just came to the office like less than a month ago. He's like 3 weeks here at Stiefel, so he's just kind of going through the transition.
Did he come from another firm?
Yeah. He came from Ameriprise.
Okay. My recollection of Ameriprise is they do a lot of smaller relationships. Am I right? Still
For
right
sure.
about that?
Yeah.
Okay. relationships, how many households do you want to transfer?
I don't think we've counted them up. We could do that.
Why would you not give them all to the person in Cincinnati instead of bringing the two people from Dayton into the picture?
Well, he's an older gentleman, and so I'm not sure how much he can handle and what he wants, and that's what we have to figure out.
You're talking about the person who came from Ameriprise?
Yes. He's got to be late 50s, early 60s. So I'm not sure what his longevity is.
And also, part of the problem with referring, and you know, we don't know these people that well, and we want to make sure that...
I don't know what type of business they do.
Right, that our clients still...
Get serviced.
Is serviced, and it's in everyone's best interest.
Do you know the guys in Dayton?
No.
Well, Lucas guy, a little bit. Bob Lucas, a little bit.
Well...
No, not really.
Not really.
What about the guy
who's born? Okay. I'm gonna try to phrase this question so it doesn't make me sound like an insensitive slob.
That's okay.
Go ahead. We got big shoulders.
No, I want to make my words match what I feel. So I'm gonna ask you a real direct question that's gonna sound like I'm a jerk. Do you care if they get great service from the guy who has come here from Ameriprise?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the answer I would want to have. Now, do you think the gentleman from Ameriprise is capable of giving them service that's equal to what you all have given them?
We don't know.
Do you even know if this gentleman from Ameriprise would want these relationships?
Don't know that either.
All right. If he would say no, isn't it good to have that? It's good to have that conversation now, so you can look
for sure
at something else.
Right.
So
right.
I would ask you. Maybe you don't have to have an in-depth conversation, although I think you could. I mean, Ameriprise. As I remember it, the old American Express, there was a big focus. They were known as doing a lot of planning, and I don't think that changed. If he's doing a lot of planning and you're giving him some smaller relationships, I think that'd be an environment in which he would be comfortable. Sometimes
I don't think he does a lot of planning. Patty thinks he does a lot of insurance. I don't even know.
I've been pushing a lot of insurance, a lot.
This gentleman's pushing a lot of insurance.
We're transferring in a lot, yes.
I don't think he's sophisticated, if I had to guess.
And he's doing Horizon accounts mainly, so he doesn't want to...
Non-discretionary?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little embarrassed that we've gotten to this point, and I haven't brought up this conversation before. This is huge. When you think of the accounts you want to give up, what do you think are these $100,000 relationships? Are these $25,000 relationships? Just what's your gut telling you the size?
I would say they're 25 to 300.
All right. And does Stiefel have any? Like at Merrill, I think to get paid, the relationship has to be $250,000. Do you have
that? No, we don't have any minimums like that.
All right. And what do you think these assets cumulatively are? How much in assets would you be transferring?
We talked about it. If we gave away everything, it'd be less than 10% of our revenue.
All right. But what in assets, roughly?
I don't know if we've ever added them up as far as assets.
Okay. Well, here's where I'm going. I'm taking too long to get
$5 to $8 million, maybe.
Okay. Is there, and there's nobody else in your office other than this gentleman that we've been talking about from Ameriprise?
No.
All right. So, and this guy doesn't sound like he's at the same, he's got the same game you have. Some people have the same game you have, it's just smaller numbers. This sounds
right.
Like he isn't playing the same game, correct?
Right. Correct.
Doesn't that,
I think we're better I think we're better off trying to Dayton people as we've been talking through it just now. I don't think it's a good match.
I heard, I think Scott said he knows one of those two folks in Dayton.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll make a call. I'm out Thursday, Friday. So we'll either schedule a call for today or for tomorrow or Monday, because I think our next call is next Tuesday. So we'll have a call with somebody in Dayton before next week.
Howard, do that sooner than later. This is
for sure.
The way that you maintain this service model is by not having too many clients. You know that, but I just
right.
I'm trying to drive home the urgency.
We got it.
Getting those. Okay, I'll stop. Thank you for telling me.
No. Thanks for pushing, and we got it. We'll have a call before next Tuesday.
All right. And just real quickly on that call, that doesn't have to be the call where you go over everything in detail. It's
for sure.
Call you just say, this is what we're thinking about doing. We'd love to have a conversation with you about it, but if this is something you're not interested in, we need to know that.
Exactly.
You don't. Okay. All right. Let's spend just a little bit of time. Well, let me talk about the folders, or follow up on the folders. Are you all in good shape with the folders and the scheduling tool?
So the folders, Patty, where are we?
We have addressed a couple of the sheets, how we want to do the data sheet. We met as a small group and then with Howard and made some changes with Scott and Howard yesterday. Folders have not been ordered yet. We're waiting on the PO for that. And scheduling tool I've been practicing with.
All right. Patty, when you said you're waiting on the PO, what is that, a purchase order?
Yeah.
Okay, and is that something that Stiefel has to approve?
Yes.
Who are you waiting on?
Accounting.
Okay.
A guy signed, the manager signed?
No.
Oh.
Straight up through Crystal.
Okay.
All right. And then on the scheduling tool, you say you're practicing on it. Tell me, where do you have any issues with it, anything that I can explain?
No. Peter and I have to work, when he's done taking his test, on the color issues and scheduling more than one person. We have an issue with our ACT. Remember we talked about that? Because right now we schedule everything through ACT. It shows up on our Outlook calendar, and both Scott and Howard show up on the same sheet, and I'm not able to do that with Supernova. We did talk about it.
So you can't take the what people do is they put they schedule onto the Excel spreadsheet and then transfer that over to Outlook. You're not able to do that?
Not through ACT, no. Well, I asked you that a couple weeks ago.
I'm not really sure about color, if it's able to do by individual name.
Right.
Are you able to do multiple advisors on one sheet? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's two separate schedule tools, one for you, one for him.
Okay.
And then they get moved over.
Okay. So why would that be a problem if we do it two separate?
Well, because theirs was colored. We were going to talk about this.
We don't care about color.
Right. And then there was an issue about downloading it from their tool into our ACT.
We'll go to Outlook. Outlook then goes to ACT. The color doesn't matter.
No, you just put the description.
As long as it's Scotty or Howard, it doesn't matter about the color. So can we try a couple? Why don't you guys do that? So Peter's out Wednesday, Thursday, so can you guys do 4 or 5 for each of us by next week? Right. Okay. We'll work on it.
Howard, when you say do 4 or 5, are you talking about schedule, put 4 or 5 people in the schedule, or are you talking about...
No, just dummy meetings, and then we'll cancel them.
Okay.
Just to see how they go through the system.
I got it. Patty, do you need any more help from Cindy?
No, I need Peter.
All right. I'm thinking through something here. Are you comfortable? Did Cindy go over with you how you schedule? I mean, you got to put an hour aside for each person once a month?
Okay.
So
we played with it. We've played with the butlers. We've played with the center of influences, moving months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We built
right,
our
so,
own. She had me build my own and play with it. And yeah.
So the hold up right now is the ACT issue.
Yeah. So taking the Excel to Outlook, Outlook to ACT. Because ACT is our contact management system, but ACT and Outlook talk. But we just got to make sure that it connects and syncs and all that. It should.
Okay.
Helps us track our touches.
All right. Okay. Scott, Howard, we've talked here today. We're talking about the reducing the size of the practice, and we're talking about getting comfortable with the scheduling via the ACT conversation. What are, instead of me assigning homework around that, what do you all think over the next week that's around these two issues, what are some small steps that can get this process moving forward?
Well, so far, if Scott and I can continue to make some supernova calls over the next week, if Scott and I can have a couple conversations on Dayton and the possible advisors we can go to, Patty can follow up on this PO and get that thing ordered. Obviously dealing with accounting is sometimes difficult, but once it gets through, it'll get ordered. And it does. It's just a matter of they're not the quickest in the world. And then I think if Peter and Patty can test this Excel to Outlook, Outlook to ACT, I think, we're getting really close to being able to run this thing live when we have enough names.
Rob, right. I have a question for you.
Yep.
This is Scott. I have a question for you. I'm asking a question. I think I know the answer. But anyway, in some of the hesitations we talked about in not knowing where we're referring some of these clients, how these other advisors practice. Operates. Would you tell a client that if things don't work out with the new advisor that they would be able to re-engage us?
You know the answer to that, Scott.
I told you I did before I asked it.
Talked about last week.
The I could give you all the reasons why that's not a good idea. One of them being, if they know they can come back to you, they never give the new person really give them a fair shot.
Right.
So, no, you just gotta, here's how you phrase it. Our practice has grown to the point that we can't give you the service we want you to have. It's that simple. You don't say we can't give you the service that you deserve because they're going to say, well, what you're doing now is fine. So, and I know this is uncomfortable, Scott. I know it is. If it were easy, Nap and I'd be out of business.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the client's best interest. You've got people, Rob has said, I heard him say it, down in Alabama the other day, every client deserves to be in somebody's, A-book. You gotta get uncomfortable and tell them that you're doing it for them because you can't give them the service you want them to have. Agreement?
Yep.
All right. So the three things we're working on here, the three legs, we're looking where we are as a group. Continue to make the calls. Get one folder put together so everybody can agree on that, and then get this ACT Outlook thing put together. Those are the three major things to do.
Patty, Peter, and Trisha worked on the input for the folders. We all talked about that yesterday, and we're okay with what it is.
Okay. All right. That's pretty clear. Everybody's got something to work on that's really, really important. You're building a foundation here. This is going to be hard. I'm glad Scott answered the question I asked him a minute ago. You care whether these people get good service or not. That makes it harder. If you didn't care, you'd just send them a letter and do whatever. But understand it's important. It's important for these clients. You want them to get good service. They'll get good service from someone else. And it's important for you all, going forward. All right. It's at the bottom of the hour. You got a couple more minutes?
Sure.
All right. Now I want to talk a little bit about the scheduling, and we're not quite to this point yet, but I think it's good that you see what's coming. Here is how we want to measure whether or not your organization is working. Scott comes in on Monday and says to Patty, I'm taking the week of August the 13th off. I don't know if that's a Monday or not. I'm just making it up. And that's the last conversation that Scott has to have around him taking a week off. Patty knows what to do. Patty knows how to reschedule. So that's when you all can, Howard, you're going to, same thing. You're going to be out for a week. You tell Patty, I'm out the week of whatever. And from that point forward, there's nothing else to say. She knows what to do. So let's talk about how we reschedule. Let's start with the clients. Here is a best practice. The client is notified, preferably via email, 5 business days, a week before their call. And it goes something like this, the email. Patty sends the email out to Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones, just a reminder that you have your monthly call with Scott next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Ms. Jones emails back, I can't keep that appointment. My husband and I are traveling. Now, this is assuming it's a non-review month appointment. So Patty's response, thank you for letting us know. Is there anything that I can do for you, or is there anything you'd like me to pass on to Scott? Ms. Jones' response, nope, everything is good. Patty's response, we'll talk to you next month. We do not, please hear this clearly, we do not reschedule non-review month calls.
That's great.
You hear that, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay. So, really simple. Email goes out, reminder, got a meeting with Scott. Email comes back, can't keep the call. Email goes back, thanks for letting us know. Anything that I can do for you or anything I can pass on to Scott? No, everything's good. Response, we'll talk to you next month.
What happens if they email back? Sorry, this is Peter. What happens if they email back? Can we, this doesn't work this week. Can we reschedule for next week?
Well, that's not an option. Now again, Peter, common sense overwhelms everything else. If it's the best client you all have, then maybe you make an exception. But it's got to be an exception. Now you're going back into rescheduling. Here's what you do. You have a topic every month, and I'll get into that next week. But you have a topic every month. If you don't get to it with a client can't keep the appointment, then you just tack that on to the next call that they have. You with me, Peter?
So then you're going to respond back how? What would be your response back to somebody that answers you back that way?
If they
can't take it.
Tell me what.
How do you say it without sounding like a prick?
Well,
anytime you just see something that's not necessary to reschedule, we have the next call scheduled for the following April 15th.
Right.
And you've already asked, is there anything of importance that we can help you with now? If not, they should be okay with postponing it to the next month.
Just bring it up, just so we
talk about it. I don't see it being a problem.
Well, Peter, what if you had to cancel a dental appointment? And
you don't cancel dental appointments around here.
Say it again.
We don't cancel dental appointments around here.
Well, let's say if you called and told the dentist's office you couldn't keep that appointment, and they said, well, we don't have anything on our calendar until whenever,
right.
Unless it's an emergency, you're going to have to live with that.
Right.
So what, I don't know if that was Scott or Howard a minute ago, is, you know, when you go through that, is there anything we can help you with? Excuse me. And there isn't, the chances of them wanting to reschedule are small. And the response would be, and I'm hesitating with my words because we never get this response, is Scott doesn't have anything on his calendar sooner than when we're scheduled next month. What we were going to talk about is important, but not urgent. We'll tack it on. Is it okay if we tack it on to next month? What I want to get with here, Peter, is I want to get the structure in place. And then if you want to deal with one-offs, that's okay. But we got to have the structure to begin with.
Right.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right. Now, these are non-review calls I'm talking about.
Right, right.
Now, if they are quarterly reviews, the conversation sounds very similar. You've got your quarterly review with Howard next week. Just a reminder: can't keep it. Not going to be in town. Well, Scott has Howard has time here, do any of those work for you? So you do reschedule the quarterly reviews. You don't reschedule the non-review months. Patty, any questions on that?
Not a one.
All right. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
That's great.
Makes it a lot easier.
You'd have to keep a bourbon bottle in your lower right drawer if you had to reschedule. I'm joking. Now, let's go back to how we started this part on how to measure if your scheduling, your organization is working well. Scott says, I'm going to take the week of August the 13th off. Now, let's assume that Scott has 18 calls scheduled that week. Two-thirds of those calls are going to be non-review calls. Two-thirds of the calls are non-reviews. So that means out of those 18 calls, you got 12 non-review months and 6 quarterly reviews. Everybody good with that math?
Yep.
So here's what Patty does. It's going to sound really familiar. Ms. Jones, you're scheduled next week with your week monthly call with Howard. Howard is going to be out that week. Is there anything that I can do for you, or is there anything I can pass on to Howard? Nope, everything's good. We'll talk to you next month. That's how you do the rescheduling for the non-reviews, just like the scheduling. If it's one of the 6 review calls, Scott's going to be out next. You've got your monthly meeting with Scott or monthly call with Scott next week. He's going to be out on vacation. He has time here, here, and here. Do any of those work for you? You see how that works, Patty?
Yep.
Now, if somebody now that's the structure. That's the structure. Any does anybody have any questions on that? It's really simple. It's really simple. Now, now that we have the structure, what are the one-offs that you all could see that we could talk about? I mean, Peter brought up the one about we can do it next week and how you deal with that. But can you think of any other one-offs?
So somebody is going to buy a house or somebody's moving, and so it's in between monthly calls. And so, for example, Linda Murphy calls on Monday. You know, her call is in for 3 weeks, but we spend a lot of time over this week. Do you keep her monthly call 3 weeks from now when I just spent a lot of time with her this, 2 weeks before?
If it's 3 weeks before, I would probably go ahead with the monthly call. That's a common sense thing. You've got to decide. If you have that conversation today and you're scheduled tomorrow, you might say, we've got a call scheduled for tomorrow. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Right.
No, I think we're good. Well, we'll talk to you next month. And then, of course, obviously you got to communicate that with Patty so she knows what's going on.
Right.
I got one for you. Howard has these meetings weekly and monthly on his calendar, not with clients but outside activities.
Yep.
If they happen to correspond with a meeting he's supposed to, this is already in the calendar now, and I'm going to schedule somebody, and it turns out that he's not going to be there at that time. So I'm already throwing off my calendar, my scheduling tool. How do I approach a client, say, the same way, Howard's going to be out at that time?
Can we reschedule?
And he would have to reschedule because he hasn't had a monthly call with them or whatever,
It'd be the same.
Yeah.
The same?
If it's a monthly call, you skip it. If it's a quarterly review, you reschedule it. It's the same rationale. But she's talking about nonprofits where I have a meeting during the day. If I know those for the year in advance, and those are on the calendar, so you're going to know those. A lot of those don't happen, a month or two out. Those happen pretty far out usually. And I usually schedule around them. When people ask me what my availability is, I use the calendar to tell them what I'm available for those.
So my question back to there is, do I pull his calendar first if I see that at a certain time every month he's gone and block that out on the scheduling tool?
Good question. Here's the next week we'll talk about the ideal day. Let's say Howard might say, I'm just making this up. Howard might say, you need to know when Howard wants to start his day.
Sure.
Howard may say, I don't want to start any earlier than 9 o'clock. I want my last call to end, by 4 o'clock. I don't want to be scheduled on Friday afternoons. Howard's got to tell you what he wants his schedule to look like. And then you have to get the things that you just talked about. Howard, do you have a meeting that's a regular monthly meeting?
Yeah, so one monthly and then two or three that are quarterly. But I know those, and so I could give them to Patty now.
You give them to Patty, and Patty just doesn't schedule at that time.
Right. But obviously things happen. But if I have a meeting scheduled with a client, and someone wants to do a nonprofit, then I don't do it. I have to work first.
Well, if every time a client calls, you're available, you might not be, and I don't think that's the case with you, but in general, if every time a client calls, the FA is available,
right.
That's kind of like your dentist sitting in the waiting room for you to get there.
Right.
Not very busy. So you get to have a schedule just like a doctor and an attorney, dentist have. So
right.
The ideal day first starts with what you and Howard, what you and Scott want to do, Howard, as far as what your days look like. When do I start?
Right.
When do I end? And then you get these quarterly meetings or monthly meetings, whatever. Make sure Patty knows them. And then you've got your structure. You know what to do if something changes.
Right. Right.
All okay. Right. All right.
Okay.
We'll go over a lot of this again. Scott, what this points out and is just the importance of getting these transitions behind you so that you see more time on your calendar, you have more time to devote to your existing clients. But this is a heavy lifting. The most fun in Supernova is telling your clients about the changes, the refinements you're making to your practice, and the acquisition strategies that you now have time to implement.
Right.
A lot of the stuff in between is really hard. Is really hard if you do it right. Knapp calls it. He catches FA sometimes. They got a bunch of accounts they've hidden under the rug. You all aren't trying to do this. It's hard, and I'm glad it's hard because that means you're making the right changes. All right.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Talk to you next
Thank
week.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
You bet.
Bye. Bye.